the state of the Republican Party as a whole here in North Carolina is very strong. What we saw in 2020, we actually had 81% Republican turnout, which is an all-time record.
Where do North Carolina Republicans go in the wake of a Trump presidency and a failed insurrection? Likely straight ahead. This is the WUNC Politics Podcast. I'm Jeff Tiberi. Today, a collection of conservative voices on the lasting impact of Donald Trump.
Right now, the state of my party, a lot of people need to make some hard decisions.
Jonathan Feltz was a White House political director under George W. Bush. These days, he works in crisis communications. Like many establishment Republicans, he was never an avowed Trump supporter, nor was he a never-Trumper.
I think we do have some legitimate issues with this QAnon. I don't even know how to properly describe it or whatnot, but like that sort of crazy conspiracy theory, that's not doing anyone any good. And that's something that we need to quickly squash on the national level.
But how do Republicans squash the conspiracy theories, disinformation, and the once fringy extremism that has seemingly become routine?
Sure, that's the tricky situation here. I mean, first, I think I have to point out, you know, there's not been, now I'm sure there are some QAnon supporters here in North Carolina, but we've not seen a significant issue. There's not been an incident or anything like that. So I have to point that out briefly. But I think that the trick now with in the post-Trump era is replicating the authenticity of Trump while also smoothing out some of those rough edges.
I just frankly am not comfortable being part of a party that's built around some cult of personality.
Grounding the party to some degree is going to be key for conservatives like Chuck McGrady. The Henderson County Republican retired from the legislature last year after years in office. Admittedly, he's something of an endangered conservative species, a moderate environmentalist, someone who will criticize Trump. McGrady was expecting Trump to dominate the party, though he notes that expectation was prior to the failed insurrection on January 6th.
Actions have a way of speaking louder than words, and I think that what happened in Washington was one of those events that will cause people to question where we headed.
McGrady is optimistic that a shift within his party is coming, though things appear quiet for the time being. A number of sitting Republican elected officials on the state and federal level either did not respond or declined to be interviewed for this program. That fact is unsurprising to McGrady.
Yeah, but it may be where we are. I mean, we're sitting a few days in advance of the inauguration. People on, you know, feeling really uncomfortable about what could happen, whether in Washington or in our state capitals. People don't want to, I'm sure, don't want to do or say anything that inflames the situation anymore. And moreover, when you stick your neck out, you get shot at.
It's unclear if any Republican is immune from the wrath of Trump fanatics. Insurrectionists chanted, "Hang Mike Pence," after storming the U.S. Capitol. And here, even the staunchest of conservatives, Phil Berger, faced criticism. A day after the attack on the Capitol, he condemned the violence and was promptly called a traitor on social media.
And I do sense that there's a lot of public officials who are just are tired of Trump, albeit they still need to rely on, you know, the support of people that are still very much admirers of Trump. So give it some time. I think it's, again, I think it's too early to say.
Overall, McGrady calls this landscape very disconcerting, though he remains a registered Republican for now. That's not the case for everyone.
There is absolutely nothing at this stage that would cause me to want to remain and be associated with the Republican Party.
Bob Orr is a former associate justice on the state Supreme Court. In 2008, he sought the Republican nomination for governor, losing to Pat McCrory, or long ago stopped mincing words about the party.
I think the reason you saw all but one Republican congressman cast what I would consider an idiotic and irresponsible vote to try and overturn the election is because of their fear, their adherence, their concerns about keeping this extreme Trump base happy for their own political welfare.
And Bob Orr is clear on something else. He does not think this approach is sustainable.
They are not going to be able to thread that needle. It is a no-win proposition. They're going to have to either crawl in bed with the Trump crowd and live with it for the duration, or they're going to have to be like me and a lot of other folks who say, I don't want to be associated with these people, and I am therefore going to leave the party and either be unaffiliated or join a new third party, or probably in some instances people are registering as Democrats.
In Bob Orr's view, an ideal reshuffling would see Trump break off and create his own party. Think of it as a populist faction, leaving people like him with an incentive to remain Republicans. He says another option is for moderate conservatives to create their own party, adding that it could be led by Mitt Romney, John Kasich, or even Larry Hogan, governor of Maryland. However, Orr concedes such a shift would require strong national leadership and a boat full of money. Presently, there are no signs of either. Despite everything surrounding, connected to, and permeating within the Trump sphere, many Republicans in North Carolina believe the Trump effect can be expanded, grown.
You know, I honestly think the Republican Party is in pretty good shape in North Carolina. We don't seem to really have the fighting going on that you see in the national party.
Tom Apodaca is a former state senator. He served 7 terms in the chamber and ascended to rules chair, the top lieutenant of the Senate leader, Phil Berger. He was a central figure in Republicans taking back the state legislature in 2010, and Apodaca, similar to plenty of other conservatives, is ready to pivot. His sentiment is quite possibly something you will hear regularly in the next 2 years. He thinks the future is less about Trump's legacy and has more to do with what card Democrats play next.
In reality, I feel the Democrats are much more fractured than the Republican Party right now. And I think that's going to come to the surface, you know, when we get through the pandemic a little further and get a little bit back to normal, whatever that is. And I think once we get to that, you're going to see quite a change in the attitudes of a lot of folks. And hopefully a lot of them will come our way.
Apodaca believes the Trump phenomenon could actually allow Republicans to grow their support with the Black and Latino communities. Michael Whatley agrees with him. Whatley is the chairman of the state Republican Party. We spoke last week remotely for an extended conversation about where his party goes from here. And I began by asking him how long he expects this to remain the party of Trump.
Well, look, we saw in 2018 a fairly significant drop off both in North Carolina and across the country in terms of Republican votes versus 2016 because Trump was not on the ballot. What we need to make sure is that as we go into 2022 and even 2024, that we're going to be able to keep those Trump voters and turn them into reliable Republican voters. And the way that we're going to be able to do that is by having an America First agenda that is focused on a populist approach and that is going to be focused on making sure that we're lifting up all Americans. We're a blue-collar, working-class party at this point in time, which I think is a substantially better place than we were before 2016.
So fairly or unfairly, there is an association between the Republican Party and racism, and it has been heightened in recent years by this president. I don't think that the president in many ways has helped some of this perception. And I suspect you will push back and you will talk about some of the criminal justice reform that he has spearheaded. And I think that there are ways in which you can point to perhaps some improvement in race relations. But as I think about the Republican Party and trying to reach voters of color, Black voters, Latino voters, I'm wondering how you continue to try to do that in North Carolina. And if you've got any specifics, I'd love to hear them.
Yeah, look, I strongly disagree with the whole premise of your question. I think that what we saw this year was that that President Trump increased the percentage of Black votes that he received, increased the percentage of Hispanic votes, and we brought new voters to the party. Here in North Carolina, we elected a Republican Black lieutenant governor who's the first Black lieutenant governor in the history of the state. We take very seriously the efforts that we have with engagement with the Black community, with Hispanic communities, and we've seen numbers that are there. So I strongly disagree with any notion that that we're a party associated with racists in any way, shape, or form.
So let me stick with where the ball is in your court, so to speak. How do you build upon that?
It's a matter of continual engagement with those communities and being able to talk to them one-on-one and talk about the ideals of the Republican Party. You know, we are a pro-life party. We're pro-economic movement. We're pro-economic growth. We're America first. And that goes across all platforms. It goes across all races. And we're a party of individual advancement, which we believe very strongly with. So I think, you know, there's always work that needs to be done. But to say that they went backwards when we got more higher percentage of Black votes and Hispanic votes in 2020 than we did in 2016 is, you know, strikingly different than the narrative.
Trump, from my perspective, has been more of a populist than a conservative, if you take the body of work. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. I think that when you look at his approach to governance, it has always been America first. It has been a very populist approach. He has wanted to make sure that the tax cuts that he ushered through Congress were going to lift all classes. In fact, we saw that the greatest percentage of the impact was on low-income housing, low-income families received the best burden there. When you look at the infrastructure investments that he made, you look at the investments that he made in our military, that was for our soldiers. He's a very populist president, a conservative populist, and I think the Republican Party is dramatically better off for being in that camp than we were prior to 2016.
So this is a state, North Carolina is a state, undeniably, with long-standing roots of populism. And it remains one of the most rural states in the country. And I do wonder if you think, because of those factors, if that leads to us reasonably deducing that a Trump impact, a Trump shadow, a Trump legacy, call it what you will, here is quite possibly going to last longer than in some other states.
Yeah, if you look at the policies that the president pushed, they were enormously popular here in North Carolina. Support for our law enforcement, national security, putting America first, for free, fair trade over free trade, and making sure that we renegotiated NAFTA, which savaged North Carolina. If you look at the renegotiation of deals with China, which those trade deals, you know, had previously hurt our state in a big way, that is a tremendously populist agenda. It will stand here in North Carolina, I think, for the test of time.
Laura Trump, one of the daughters-in-law of President Trump, native of Wilmington, is rumored to be considering a 2022 U.S. Senate run. Is that a both hands in the air, excited to see it, or is that a scratch the forehead, try to figure out how to navigate this one?
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, we've got a really strong bench of Republicans here in North Carolina. I think we will have many different candidates that are going to take very serious looks at that race. You know, I've said on several occasions that we're going to need a dance card to keep it straight. You know, I think that if Laura were to look at this state, she would draw a high level of interest. There is, you know, a lot of support for her father all across this state. You know, and if she were to come in with that same type of agenda, I think she'd be taken very seriously with it. You know, she also, you know, has some steps that she would have to take to be able to move down here and kind of start building out that conversation with the primary just a little bit over a year from now. But that's something that we would take very seriously. But we also have a number of other candidates, I think, that would be worth taking a look at. And we're going to have, coming out of that primary next May, a very, very strong Republican. And I expect we're going to be in a great place to hold the seat.
As we think about the future, we've talked about the Trump policies, Trump administration policies that were popular here. We've talked about the populism, talked about an increase to an extent, the number of black and brown voters who voted for Republicans in 2020. At the same time, I do think a little bit about the urban Republican, the right of center Republican. Tell me how you think you might have to distance yourselves, or how the GOP is going to have to create a little bit of separation from the Trump legacy and some of those, and I know there might not be a ton, but some of those middle of the road conservatives.
Look, what we need to focus on is the policies that were advanced by the president were advanced by a Republican Senate. And what we have supported is tax cuts, making sure that we're going to keep money in the hands of the families that need them rather than government. We're going to support a strong national security. We're going to support pro-life and pro-Second Amendment values that are still very popular here in North Carolina. And we're going to have to make sure that we go out there and talk about where we stand as Republicans in broad colors, in bold colors. And this is really an area where, as Republicans, we have the ability to stand up and say we had a fantastic election cycle here in 2020. We brought out more Republican voters than we've ever had by far. And we need to use that as a building block to be able to continue to build our coalitions and our blocks. We're going to have to focus on voter registration. We saw between 2016 and 2020, 275,000 votes spread between Republicans going up and Democrats going down in voter registration. And I think that that's one of the main reasons that we had the string of victories that we saw in the State House, in our Council of State, with our courts, and with Senator Trump, and, or Senator Tillis and President Trump all carrying the state.
Michael Whatley, chairman of the North Carolina Republican Party. Hey, let me ask you a question. Who or what would you like to hear on the Politics Podcast in 2021? Are there specific one-on-one conversations or maybe issues-based episodes, redistricting, certain policy, under-the-radar political forces that need more attention from us? Let me know. I'm on Twitter at J_TIBS. You can email me, JTIBERII@WUNC.org. Hope you have a safe and warmish inauguration week. I'll return to your podcast feeds on Friday when Aisha and Clark gather for a review of recent North Carolina political news. Politics?
Politics.
Podcast.
Polica.
Politics Podcast. Who am I?
Dada to be.